Having stood up,
Arhanena,
with paraphernalia for worship, Saha, accompanied Pita Putra Vyam, by Priyavrata and his father, Swayambhuva Vamanu, Avahitanjaliya, with respect and folded hands, Upadaste, worshipped. Translation. Lord Brahma, the father of Narada Muni, is the supreme person within this universe. As soon as Narada saw the great swan, he could understand that Lord Brahma had arrived. Therefore, he immediately stood up along with Swayambhuva Maru and his son Priyavrata, whom Narada was instructing. Then they folded their hands and began to worship Lord Brahma with great respect. Purport. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was accompanied by other demigods, but his specific carrier was the great swan. Therefore, as soon as Narada Muni saw the swan, he could understand that his father, Lord Brahma, who is also known as Hiranyagarbha, was arriving. Thus he immediately stood up with Swayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata to receive Lord Brahma and offer respect. This is all, but we will, the complete purport, but we will also read text 10. Bhagavan Abhibharata Tat Upani Tarhana Sukta Vakena Titaram Udita Guna Ganavatara Sujaya Priyavratam Ari Purushastam Sadaya Asavaloka Iti Obacha. Walter Uwe, kannst du mal Folgendes machen? Das Krishna-Buch in englischer Sprache, was auf dem Buchrücken der englischen Bhagavatams bei mir im Zimmer liegt, nehmen und das Tattvasandhava geben. Das Tattvasandhava, bitte such dann die Stelle im Krishna-Buch heraus, wo König Muchukunda Krishna-Gebete da bringt, nachdem er den Kala-Yavana-Dämon zur Asche verbrannt hat mit den Augen. Du weißt was, oder? Jetzt schon. Tatma Sadhava Prabhu, unser Pandit, schon immer gewesen. My dear King Parikshit, Goldberg Pandit. My dear King Parikshit, because Lord Brahma had finally descended from Satyaloka to Bhuloka, Narada Muni, Prince Priyavrata and Swayambhuva Manu came forward to offer him objects of worship and to praise him in highly qualified language, according to Vedic etiquette. At that time, Lord Brahma, the original person of this universe, felt compassion for Priyavrata, and looking upon him with a smiling face, spoke to him as follows. Purport. That Lord Brahma descended from Satyaloka to see Priyavrata indicates that the matter was serious, very serious. Narada Muni had come to advise Priyavrata about the value of spiritual life, knowledge, renunciation and bhakti. And Lord Brahma knew that Narada's instructions were very impressive. Therefore, unless Lord Brahma personally went to Gandhamadana Hill to request Priyavrata, Lord Brahma knew that Prince Priyavrata would not accept his father's order. Brahma's purpose was to break Priyavrata's determination. His smile. Now, therefore, Brahma first looked upon Priyavrata with compassion. See, Priyavrata wanted to stay Brahmachari. That, in essence, what it's all about. So Brahma wanted to convince him to become an emperor and therefore also change his ashram. His smile and compassionate features also indicated that although Brahma would request Priyavarta to accept household life, Priyavarta would not be out of touch with devotional service. By the blessings of a Vaishnava, everything is possible. This is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as Kripa Siddhi, or perfection attained simply by the blessings of a superior person. One usually becomes liberated and perfect by executing the regulative principles set down in the Shastras. Nonetheless, many persons have achieved perfection simply by the blessings of a spiritual master or superior. Priyavrata was the grandson of Lord Brahma, and as joking competition sometimes takes place between grandson and grandfather, in this case also, Priyavrata was determined to remain in meditation, whereas Brahma was determined that he rule the universe. Thus Lord Brahma's affectionate smile and glance meant, "My dear Priyavrata, you have decided not to accept household life, but I have decided to convince you that you must accept it." Actually, Brahma had come to praise Priyavrata for his high standard of renunciation, austerity, penance, and devotion, so that he would not be deviated from devotional service, even though he would accept household life. In this verse, one important verse is Shukta Vakina by Vedic hymns. In the Vedas, there is the following prayer to Lord Brahma. Hiranyagarbha samavata tagre bhutasya jatapatya eka asit. Brahma was received with the appropriate Vedic hymns, and because he was welcomed according to the Vedic etiquette, he was very pleased. Maum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Bo Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Maharaj Priyavrata was afraid to change his ashram. In the Bhagavatam it is said Pungsa Striya Mituni Bhavam Etan, that there is a knot in the heart which is called Ahankara, false ego, and this knot in the heart becomes tightened, festgeschnürt, upon contact with the opposite sex. Man wants woman and woman wants man. This is a natural condition in material life. When they unite, however, when they unite, they become attached to family members. That means there is a desire to have children. There is soon a desire to have an apartment or house or any living facility. There is more attachment to relatives and to money which is necessary to maintain the whole household affair. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says the knot in the heart becomes tightened by the unison or verbindung, combination of man and woman. Priyavrata knew this, and therefore he, although his own father Swayambhuva Manu and Narada Muni had tried to convince him of to take on grihastha, the grihastha life, He was highly afraid and he declined. He said, no, sorry. There are many examples in the Vedic scriptures where great devotees have declined to accept the household life, although they were requested by their illustrious father. For instance, the four Kumaras, when they were requested by Lord Brahma to create progeny, Nakhamshaft, they declined. Brahma became so angry that that Lord Shiva was born from between his eyebrows. He just jumped. He just came out. And he was called Rudra, the angry one, who was so angry he just burst into 11 manifestations. Another time, Narada Muni also declined to change his ashram, and as a result he was cursed by the Lord Brahma to have sex life under each bush of the universe. Yes, it was not a very decent curse. Brahma was, his nerves must have been blanke Nerven, that he could become so angry at his son and curse him like that. Narada was also very shocked. He said, "And because you are such an uncontrolled rascal, I curse you that you will desire your own daughter." Inzucht nennt man das. This is going on in even elevated circles. So you can see just from these few selected examples, more could be given, that there is some danger in the attraction in the household and in married life, which is seen by great souls, and therefore they are very afraid to enter into this. But not in the heart. It's very, very strong. Just put my thoughts in order here. And yes, very strong, and sometimes so strong that a person, even after he has heard Krishna is your father and he wants you back home, we are bound by the knot in the heart to engage in materialistic, or what we say, fruitive activities, and we don't become attracted to join Krishna in the spiritual world. Prabhupada gave the example of an astronaut. Even when the astronaut was the first Russian astronaut, Sergei something, was high in the sky, he still was attached to his own little place. They sent a message up. So, Sergei, how are you feeling? Well, he said, I'm looking for Moscow. Prabhupada remarked this as something special. He could have... why was he so attached to his city? You know, the little speck on the planet Earth. Well, he had a knot in the heart. You follow? He could have said, well, it looks very nice here, all planets are around me, I feel so light and so insignificant in the face of the universe. I feel very close to God, because when I look at the universe, it is such a masterful design, and I feel so awed. But he just thought, where is my toilet room in Moscow? this was on his mind. This means a knot in the heart, the knot to material life or material activities. It is very, very strong, and it has been compared to the attachments of the vulture. The vulture may fly very, very high in the sky, but his vision is fixed on the carcass, the Leiche, where he wants to eat very nice to the intestines. So this is certainly an unfortunate situation within the human existential condition. Now, in the Bhagavatam, it is said that intelligent people, they are very interested to cut that knot to material existence. In the 15th shloka of the second chapter of first canto, it says, Yat anudyasina yukta karma grantini bandhanam chindanti kovidas tasya kona kuryat kataratim. With sword in hand, intelligent people cut the firm knot of reactionary acts, that is karma, by remembering Krishna. Who therefore will not hear about Krishna? So I thought, because this is the method which is given in the scriptures, to take the knot of Srimvatam, of hearing about Krishna, sorry, not the knot, the sword of hearing about Krishna, to cut the knot of material attachment, I thought today we will engage in a little Krishna katha. I want to dedicate this lila to our Vidai Govinda Prabhu, because he has an interest in swords, cutting, and he has an interest in the Krishna lilas pertaining to battlefields. What we will hear today is someone who was very, and let me say, remained very attached up to the last end. His name is Jarasandha, and we will hear of another personality, a great king, who offered beautiful prayers to Krishna, and which showed that he actually became free of material attachments. He was also a king, and his name is King Muchukunda. So let us proceed. So after Kamsa had been killed by Shri Krishna, two of his wives, who were sisters, became extremely angry. Their name were Asti and Prapti, and they were daughters of the king Jarasandha, the king of Magadha. They went back to their father with tears in their eyes and said, "This Krishna, he has killed Kamsa. Now he's in Mathura. What are you going to do about it?" Jarasandha took 23 Akshavini divisions of his army. Extremely much. Do you remember what an Akshavini was? I remember 65,000? 165,000?
Yeah, it's over
100,000 men, sure. And there are many there are several divisions in there: chariot fighters, isn't it? Elephant fighters, infantry, the foot, whose fault? Infantry, and bow, also those who work with bows. So 23 he took. That means how many?
Like two and a half million.
2.5 million. That's much more than the Americans took to Kuwait, isn't it? Much more. The Americans only took 200,000, I think. Is this correct?
Like
so it's roughly six times more than the Americans took to Kuwait. This is how they went to Mathura. Whoa. That's really tough. It is described that the army made a noise like a roaring ocean before the gates of Mathura. Krishna at that time was in the royal assembly and addressed Lord Balaram. Oh Lord Balaram, this army should be destroyed. But let us not kill Yarasandra. I have a plan. I want to remove all the demoniac armies and in this way please my devotees. When the Lord spoke like this, two beautiful chariots arrived from Vaikuntha, which everyone could see. These dazzling chariots were all of a sudden there. When Krishna and Balaram saw them, they mounted, that means bestiegen, in the chariots and went accompanied by a small Yadava army, a very small one, to the battlefield. Duryodhana also had come to help Yarasandha because he saw it as a chance to now kill the Supreme Personality of Lordhood. And he came with five Akshahinis, and the powerful king of Bengal was also there, who came with many Akshahinis. And they all were determined, we will give our life to save this Yarasandha. So now when Krishna saw what was going on, all these kings and soldiers ready to finish the small minority army, what did he do? He first of all made his Sharinga bow ready with his bow. And then just to make a good atmosphere, he just twanged it a little. Ding, ding. I don't know if you have ever taken... have you experienced in bows, Hridaya Govinda? Not really? As little boys we all had, I suppose. I mean, when you have a very good bow and you make ding, ding, and it gives a little zing, it claims to be some zing, zing. You just look like ding, ding, twang, twang. And now when the Lord did so, all the universe echoed with the sound. You would hear the sound everywhere, and the planets, the stars, the earthly planet, and also the elephants who hold the four direction began to tremble. And then the enemy armies and the horses and elephants heard it. They all fled the battlefield because that sound was so loud. I want to just give you from a personal experience. I was once in a war in Ljubljana, and there were bombs exploding just next to us, and this noise was so terrible that the nerves just went freaked out. He just felt like screaming. It was so terrible, this noise, so loud. So this must have happened to at the battlefield. 2 miles they ran away. That's a little above 3 kilometers they ran away from the battlefield. But Krishna wouldn't accept that. He took his Saranga bow, which began to show an effulgence like a flash, and began flooding the whole army with an ocean of flood of arrows, which began to cast a dark shadow over the army. And then this bow, the arrows were taking their aims, their goals, and the various all fell at the battlefield, their armor broken, like so many broken pots,
they were lying on the battlefield with arms separated, chest opened. And all this created such a bloodstream. It was an 800 mile long bloodstream was created on the battlefield. It is described in Krishna book that the heads of the soldiers which were drifting on top of the river looked in a certain way. The mules, horses and headless corpses, they looked like crocodiles. And in this way there were chariot wheels which looked like whirlpools. This was of course a wonderful opportunity for the ghosts and spirits, who immediately came and drank the warm blood. And Bhadrakali also came riding on her lion and laughed very much. Her associates gathered all the skulls and prepared a garland for Lord Shiva from it. It was heavy, to say at least. Now, you will be pleased to hear that those soldiers who left their bodies had two destinations. One was they went immediately to the higher planets. These must have been the soldiers who were not killed by Krishna. They immediately went to the higher planets, where the demigoddess, the apsaras, began to discuss amongst themselves. This hero is fit to be my husband. Sometimes there were two for one. In other words, they had a good marriage, no problem, sense enjoyment, and so on and so forth. Others, other heroes, passed through the circle of the sun. There's a great pathway which is lying within the universe where you can go to Vaikuntha. You might have heard great mystics go through the sun planet upwards. I think you have heard this before. In the Bhagavatam it is stated. They go through the Shishumara circle and they went to the transcendental abode of Lord Vishnu. So Balaram killed the rest and of the army, and it was so heavy that Duryodhana became terrified and fled here and there. He couldn't even run in one direction, he just ran in circles, so he didn't know where he was going. Then Balaram, the best of the Yadavas, broke the chariot of Yarasandra. He just took a club and just went like boom, and the chariot just broke apart. And then Balaram threw away his weapons and with both of his hands grabbed the powerful Jarasandha. They fought for quite some time, for an hour. So violently they fought that the whole earth shook. But then Balaram said, "This is enough." His transcendental body filled with anger, he grabbed Jarasandha and threw him to the ground, and the child throws a Kamandalu pot to the ground, then jumped on him, grabbed his terrible club, and was about to kill him when Krishna said, "No, let him go." Jarasandha, in this way, left the battlefield with all of his armies killed. Now Jarasandha had a problem. He was full of false ego and he couldn't see the defeat. At first though, he just felt so miserable, he wanted to go into the forest for meditation. He wanted to become a Hare Krishna. He said, "That's enough, you know, lost everything, and I was, this Balaram just almost killed me and then he let me go. This was even worse. He could have killed me." But then his counselor said, no, don't misunderstand this. You are actually very strong. Why have you forgotten? You're very powerful. This was a little mishap. You know, who can always win?
Wie sagt man so schön?
Die Failure is a pillar for success.
Also ein Fehlschlag ist die Säule für den Erfolg. Also ist ganz sicher next time.
So. So he therefore decided to to again make a counterattack. I just wanted to read to you Krishna's reaction when he came back to Mathura. He was worshipped by showers of grains and flowers, and gazing at the city filled with beautiful spires, his garments yellow, his complexion dark, his limbs handsome and graceful, his crown, armlets and earrings glittering with great splendor, and his face smiling, carrying the Saringa bow and many other weapons, carrying the palm tree insignia and the Garuda flag, riding on a chariot pulled by restless horses and worshipped by the demigods, Lord Krishna approached King Ugrasena and gave a vessel's offering to him. Also wie ein Vasall gab er, was erbeutet war, zu Ugrasena. So, Jarasandha came many times, altogether 21 times, and each time he was defeated. The Yadavas were so powerful that the little girls who went to the battlefield to bring water to the heroes could pass easily. There was no obstruction. They didn't have to be afraid. See, when you drink, what is the greatest difficulty on the battlefield? It's to have enough water, because you tend to get thirsty when you work so hard. So this often is a great problem at many battlefields. So the way it was arranged here is that the little girls just came out of the city and brought water for the Yadavas, carrying it on the head. This is special, because usually you don't have little girls doing this, because the girls and the ladies and old men need to be protected. But here, the Yadavas were so vastly superior, because Krishna was fighting on their side, that the little girls could pass in without fear. Just like Sita, you know, and Jenny coming and bringing water. They were not afraid, because there was no danger on the side of the Yadavas, who were protected by Krishna and Balaram's arms. So, but still, Krishna was not satisfied with this. He knew that his devotees were afraid. There was always battle around Mathura. So he decided in one night to build the Dwaraka fort in the middle of the ocean. He engaged Vishwakarma in that. They just built a city in the ocean. Imagine, we are thinking here in the Heidelberg temple, or we are this temple is not always so easy for all of the devotees, because it is situated next to the street, and Trivanga doesn't like this very much, isn't it? So we are thinking how to satisfy the Vaishnavas, and therefore dream of big castles and such things. Alles ist möglich. So Krishna just also felt like that. He wanted not that his citizens felt any noise or heard noise and felt bad about all this heavy battles always going on, and he just built a huge town and palace in the night, in the ocean. That would be nice, isn't it? Vishwadeva just, build a huge
castle with many temples and maybe some orchards, as an apple garden, and possibilities to make Govinda grape juice, you know, with wine, trauben, and grapes, you know, not wine, what is it, grapes, we say in English, Weintrauben, it's in German, and you just make such a beautiful arrangement, it must be so nice. Krishna did it, actually. He made the most wonderful living quarters for all of the Yadavas. Beautiful park, houses made of gold and rubies, beautiful. Make such a place for us, it would be very nice. It would be so good. So, then Krishna, with his mystic power, he just took the whole town and just transferred them to Dwaraka. This is called Krishna Travels. you know, we have KLM, and now we fly with what, Air India. But this is Krishna. He just, by his mystic powers, he just makes it. And then they wake up in Dwaraka. Oh, look at this. I got a palace. This is so wonderful. Then Krishna began to act very mysteriously. See, it was in a battle where the demon Kalayavana had come and attacked also. There were two attacks, one led by Yarasandha, the other by Kalayavana. So Krishna just went out of the city gates of Mathura, totally unarmed. Unarmed, without a sword or anything. And he went towards the demon Kalayavan. So Kalayavan said, wonderful, this is my chance. And he began to attack and ran to Krishna. But Krishna just moved a little bit. The demon went like, shh. Then this powerful Mlecha, king of the Mlechas, he's described. And he again jumped with all his force on Krishna. Krishna again went like, I will kill you, said Kalayavan. And then he just ran after Krishna. Krishna just moved away. And whenever he just wanted to grab him, it was just this much left. Krishna had his plan. He actually didn't want to personally kill Kalayavan. He wanted to use Kalayavan in a very ecstatic move. And you will hear about this in a minute. He went into a cave where there was Mandahata's noble son called Muchukunda. Muchukunda had in previous ages protected the demigods against the demons, and after his fight he felt extremely tired, more or less like Ramapriya feels after the marathon. He had no energy left in his body, and he said to the demigods, if you are going to give me a blessing, it's just this one blessing I want, let me sleep and let my sleep not be interrupted. Whosoever disturbs my sleep, give me the blessing that with my angry eyes I can turn him into a pile of ashes. This was the blessing he asked for. So Krishna, as the all-pervading super soul, of course knew about it, and he led this foolish Kalayavana into the cave where he was. So Kalayavana thought, when he saw that in the dark cave his eyes were still overwhelmed by the darkness, he saw, there is Krishna lying, this rascal. Now I will fight with him. In the cave he can't escape. And he kicked him very violently. Wake up! Wake up! Fight! So Muchukunda this Bhogan, when someone was just kicking him violently. As you can imagine, he was a king, he was not free from this human, you know, reactions. And he immediately, he glanced at him. And there is a wonderful picture, and I want to draw your attention to this. It's in the new Krishna book. I only saw it one time. It just looks so good. There is this Kalayavan, very powerful king, bodybuilding king. And Muchukunda just looks at him, and his body just burns into a pile of ashes. I can't imagine what, you know, Kalayavana must have thought at the last moment of death. You know, imagine, he thought, now finally I have this Krishna who escaped me, and now I kicked him, and all of a sudden he saw this king just rising. And you have to understand, Muchukunda's body was huge. It was from a previous age. It was like a giant. You know, it was several meters high. He just went like... And, you know, I think Kalayavana must have seen Muchukunda, because there was all this light from his fiery glance, you know. But he must have not understood what was going on. He must have totally been shocked. So, then Muchukunda saw, of course, in the cage, Krishna. And Krishna first was visible to him in his forearm form. Now he was not really surprised, because when the leader of the demigod army had given that benediction, he said, when your sleep is over, you will see Lord Krishna directly. So don't be, you will see Lord Krishna. So King Muchukunda, when he saw Krishna, was totally overwhelmed. And I want to read to you a few of his beautiful verses, which are just wonderfully said. Please listen to him, what he said to Krishna. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can understand that all living entities on this planet are illusioned by your external energy and enamored, bezaubert, on the illusory satisfaction of sense gratification. He said, by the influence of your external energy, they are attached to the glare of material activities, to so-called society, friendship, and love, like dumb animals that have fallen into a dark well. See, this is what we are discussing. The ahankara, the false ego, which binds us so that we are more or less imprisoned, captivated, bound, wading in the dark well of material existence for our unavoidable death. And he said how he was in ahankara. He just reflects, he goes back in his life, his kami life, so to say. In this misconception of bodily life, I began to travel all over the world, accompanied by my military strength, soldiers, chariots, elephants, and horses. Assisted by many commanders and puffed up by power, I could not trace out your lordship. Ich konnte dich nicht ausfindig machen, who always sit within my heart as the most intimate friend. I think that like... So... Then he says something very telling, and he says, due to the action of cruel time, the royal body, which was always decorated with gold ornaments during life, and which moved on a chariot drawn by beautiful horses, or on the back of an elephant,
nicely decorated with golden ornaments, in which was advertised as the king of human society. That same royal body decomposes under the influence of inevitable time and becomes fit for being eaten by worms and insects, or being turned into ashes or the stool of an animal. Then he describes the terrible position of being, of having this knot in the heart. He says what actually happens. Now he has described how he was thinking himself to be the king of society, but now he says, when I come back victorious, all subordinate kings may come and offer their respects. But as soon as I enter the inner section of my palace, I myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens, and for sense gratification I have to fall down at the feet of women. Great hero. What a great hero I am. For sense gratification I become a beggar. Please give me some sense gratification. So he describes it, actually, he thinks he is a lord, but he remains a slave. This is a very nice. And then he concludes his prayers by saying, my dear Lord, I therefore pray that I may simply be engaged in rendering transcendental loving service unto your lotus feet. This is the ambition of pure devotees freed from all material contamination. So Krishna actually accepted this, and he said, my dear king, I'm very much pleased with your statement. You have been the king of all the lands on this planet, but I am surprised to find that your mind is now freed from all material contamination. You are now fit to execute devotional service. I am most pleased to see that although I offered you the opportunity to ask from me any kind of benediction, you did not take advantage of asking for material benefits. I can understand that your mind is now fixed in me and it is not disturbed by any material fault. This is the glory of King Muchukunda. He used to also be a king. Said to him, go at once to my abode named Badarikashrama for the holy Dham. There you will, by engaging in the process of devotional service, become the best of Brahmanas. And then you will go back to my abode after that. So when King Muchukunda left the cage, all of the people, they were from Dvarapa Yuga. Is that true? Yes, Dvarapa Yuga. They were quite short in comparison to him. When they saw this huge giant just walking, these are Goliath, sagt man in Deutsch, a Goliath of a man, they became shocked and fled on the road, because he was tall like many palm trees. He was so huge. But he said, don't be afraid, and said, I'm a harmless giant, don't run away, just do your activities. So then the Lord returned, and again defeated all and went back to Mathura and killed all the army of Yarasandra. So there, I could go on and on and on, but let us stop here because it's time is up. I hope you understood two different personalities. Let us follow the example of King Muchukunda. Let us also remember Krishna, become
think of him regularly, serve him regularly, and do all our works just to satisfy him. In this way, we will become free of the bondage of karma, which is there as a knot in the heart, and we will become supremely best. Yet now you might say, but I have done so many bad things in my life. I've broken all the principles before I came. I was more or less a shadow of a gorilla. I was very bad. Sometimes when the devotees come to Krishna consciousness, they have this strach, this fear, that can I actually become excused? So I know many of the devotees here in Germany in very confidential terms, and I know what they did before they came to Krishna consciousness. They relieved their hearts. Some are very wild. We have people who have killed embryos. We have a lot of far out personalities in our. If I think what I have done, not very pleasant activities. Well, Krishna can excuse. He says, I take away all the karma. This is how it works. Aham tvam sarva pāpebhyo moksha yasyami mā śucaha. When you think of becoming free from karma, the chain of fruit of reaction, it's Krishna actually who takes it all away if we surrender to him. It's so nice. So let us stop here. I think the subject matter is clear. We have a day with lots of service. Then I ask for questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.